Hello and welcome to the official Robcast podcast. I'm your host, Rob, and this is my podcast.
Hello, podcast group. PCG. Hello. Welcome to 2014. You know, when I was a small child, thinking about 2014, I probably would have thought that there would be hoverboards, automatic pizza machines, probably some sort of way to teleport between me and my best friend's house, between our bedrooms, so that we could play Legos at 2 a.m. Not that I'm sponsored by Legos, but I have to say, Legos are just one of those things that I will never not be excited about. I actually received Legos as a gift recently, and I was so elated. I'm so excited about the Legos. It's just a small little, it's like a surfer and like a shark, something like that. But I just like, I have machinations of making like an entire Lego village again. You know, I used to build all these fantasy lands. I would make these scenes happening, you know. It was as if it was frozen in time. Pirates fighting each other with their cutlasses. I had like the medieval Legos with the guys on the horses, the knights and the princesses and the castles, and they, oh man, it was so cool. I never did get into the futuristic Legos though. You know, like I was never into space Legos. Interestingly enough, it's like the future. It's funny when people will predict the future of like what the future will look like. Like in the 1800s, the way that they looked at the future had like a spin on it, as if it was like the 1800s. So it's like, that's kind of where we get that whole steampunk, you know, genre now. I think it's like, oh yeah, you know, with the current technology, what kind of things can be made with steam engines, like gears from watches and things like that, you know? And so now when we look at the future, we only see, we can only see what we know already, right? Like, we can't just make something up completely that, like, we don't even know what shape it is. It's kind of like inventing a new color. Like, all the colors that are in existence, I think, are already here. They've already been put here by Mother Nature. Mother Nature's crayon box is what I like to call. I don't like to call that anything. I just made that up. Mother Nature's crayon box. That could be like a nice children's book, you know? Like it's called Mother Nature's crayon box. And then if you want to go a step further, it would be a coloring book. So you would say, Mother Nature has made apples red. Where are the apples in this picture? Good. Now paint them red, and then you do it, you know? But if you didn't know the color red already, like, how would you describe it to someone? You'd say, oh, this is red. They'd be like, what's red? But you have to give them either an example or an opposite or something like that. Like, oh, it's kind of like green, but it's the opposite. You're like, the opposite of green? The opposite of green is not necessarily red. I mean, that's like a very like scientific way of looking at it. It's probably like the absence of a certain pigment or something like that. But, you know. So anyway, we look at the future now and it's like, hey, what's possible? Like, I know we predicted machines like those, you know, touch tablets that we have. I'll call them, I'll just say it, the Apple iPad. Let's be honest, no one has like anything else. No one has the Google one or the Microsoft one. Those are just, that's just, you know, those are wannabes, aren't they? The Samsung, all those, you don't really have a touch tablet if you don't have an iPad. Or is that what Apple wants us to think? You could even get something akin to the Kindle Fire. I mean, that's pretty amazing too, you know? Touch screen. It's comparable to some sort of iPad. I think the Retina display is even supposed to be better. It's got more pixels or whatever they're called. So then, like, you know, in the 1950s, we had all this, like, 1950s technology. It was, like, nuclear technology and stuff. And we would predict what the future was like then. That's when, like, you know, we came up with things like the Jetsons. And you'll see, like, a lot of sort of mid-century modern influences, but, like, futuristic, you know? Like, you know, I mean, which came first, the chicken or the egg, art or life, you know, which imitates what? So it's like, we know that, who was it, George Nelson made the atomic clock, all those things that sort of have this very futuristic feel. I mean, even, you know, Charles and Ray Eames with the fiberglass shell chair and all those things. It looks very futuristic. I mean, you look at anything from that era or, you know, any decade wherein, like, let's say Space Odyssey 2001. I mean, could you say that that's what the future is going to look like? Who knows? I mean, will our beds be rectangular? Will our lamp shades look the same? Will our telephones operate the same way? I mean, it's already almost like, you know, bringing nature and technology together. So it's like there's this term called singularity. And I think, you know, when I think about singularity, I think the fact that in the future, I think a lot more things are going to become like a digital interface. Like, well, let's look at it now. I think that the percentage of physical money in the world is 2%. The rest of it is completely electronic. That's scary, if you think about it. Like, the amount of money in circulation, physical money. And, of course, we no longer have the gold standard, which means that, you know, you can't turn in a dollar bill and say, I want my, you know, percentage of gold with this, because really, money is like a placeholder. It's like, hey, I have this. It's like an IOU. It's like, here, I'll give you this, and then you give me a product or a service for it, you know? It's like, wow, okay, great. So how did we decide this, you know? And now we just have these, we have credit cards, and now we don't even need credit cards because we have, in our phones, there's like the digital wallet. So it just keeps your credit card numbers on file. It's not like you actually need your credit card. And now, you know, we've got like little thumbprint technology on our phones. It's like, beep, you don't need nothing. It's quite interesting. And what I think is going to happen, now I know that there's already a technology which enables us to hear through the vibration of our bones. That's, there's a few popular technologies that use that, like Google Glasses. That's, you know, it sort of vibrates some, like your jawbone or your earbone or something like that. and then you can actually hear it talking to you. That's how you hear it. So it's like echoing through your head. It's like Google glasses are inside of your head. I mean, imagine if like a, I don't know, like a mentally ill person put on Google glasses, and all of a sudden you put on this pair of glasses and it starts talking to you. It goes, "Hello, Rob. What would you like to do today?" You're like, "What? Who's talking? Who said that?" "I am Siri," or whatever it is. It's not Siri because it's not iPod glasses yet. Although, that's probably what will happen. You know, this Google Glasses technology won't take off, and then Apple will be the one to take it to the masses and to make it cool, right? "Oh, do you have your eyeglasses?" "Yeah, man, I never leave home without them." So then, I think the next step is going to be combining our bodies with telephones. So we'll like have like, you know, some sort of chip implanted in our brain, and maybe it'll get as like as advanced as we can just think it. We can say, we can just think. I was thinking it, I didn't actually say it out loud, but what I said was, "Call Jason." So now it's gonna say, "Which Jason do you want to call? Because maybe you know more than one Jason." And you go, "Call Jason Jameson." Yeah, that's not his real name. I'm keeping his real name out of the podcast in case someone actually tried calling him. His last name is not Jameson, but I just thought it would be funny. So it'll start calling Jason Jameson. Now, I'm sure that we have voice recognition software now, so what we'd probably have to do is say it out loud at this point. So we put a chip, like maybe into our wrist or whatever, and that'll carry like all the phone numbers, all the information that we could possibly need, and then we'll just kind of say out loud, "Hey, call so-and-so," and then it calls so-and-so. And then, of course, the next synthesis which will happen is, you know, instead of needing food, instead of getting nutrients from food, we'll get them all from vitamins and pills. And there's actually a guy, an inventor, sort of a cutting edge, or maybe a little ahead of its time kind of guy. His name is Ray Kurzweil, and you may have heard his last name. He invented a very cool synthesizer, like a musical instrument synthesizer. But he claims to only take supplements, so he doesn't eat food anymore. He just takes vitamins, as the Brits call them. I don't know if he's British. I don't think he is. He takes vitamins and supplements and, you know, sort of like these little nutrient packets. And then what happens is you do away with the need for food. Like, wow, okay. So food as survival, you know, that's one thing. It's like, that's for, well, it's for everybody now, you know. It's, but some people have to think about it more than others. For instance, homeless people, poor people have to think about food as survival more than, let's say, middle class, upper middle class, or rich people who think about food as entertainment, comfort, you know, a hobby, whatever it is. It's, you know, art. It becomes something else. You know, people that pay hundreds of dollars to go to a fancy restaurant to have someone who's studied food for so long and, you know, sort of filtered it down to what they're best at and put it on a menu, and then you order it, and then someone brings it to you and you enjoy it, and there's, you know, it's a whole experience, you know. It's kind of that, like, you taste it, there's like five stages. You kind of like, oh, you smell it first, you see it, and then it's a complete olfactory experience. You touch it to your tongue, you feel the texture of it, you feel the taste, the first taste, and then as you're chewing it, the tastes mix around, or it changes some way, it amalgamates to your saliva, and then you swallow it, and you get that aftertaste, and you're like, wow, it's incredible. And, you know, the same is said for certain liquids, like, you know, fancy wines and things like that. You know, basically, I say that one thing that will never go away is that, well, if it goes away, then it's terrible. But, you know, something, if because we enjoy it, we actually seek it out, right? That sort of enjoyment of food, of that experience, making it into an event, you know, using food as, you know, any sort of marking an important event religiously or somehow, you know, making it for your birthday, even having a birthday cake or, you know, anything like Seder, you know, with the gefilte fish and the blah, 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 this and the blah, 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 that, or a Christmas figgy pudding, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, it's all centered around food. All these important events we celebrate, we commemorate, we commiserate. So what might happen when we lose that? I mean, it may never happen, but it also might. I mean, it's something that's slowly going away, like something that I feel is probably going to be completely gone within the next 50 years. And correct me if I'm wrong, future podcast listeners, but books, journals, letter writing, anything like that, it's going to be antiquated. It's going to be something of the past, you know. It'll be akin to cave drawings or something like that, you know, as a way of communicating smoke signals or something like that. Now that's, you could say it's a romantic idea, say, oh, well, letter writing will never go away, and perhaps it'll be repopularized later, like, you know, like record players are now. Oh, people realize that there's, you know, no physical way of listening to their music anymore, which is somehow nice, but it's also like, you know, sometimes I just want to take out a physical thing from my shelf. It's a nice record. I blow it off. I put it on the turntable. It does that little crackle sound, you know. It's so nice. It's got that warm analog sound. And it's something that a lot of people in the generations coming up, will never know. Just like, well, those before us knew phonographs and everything, or they knew what it was like to constantly be smelling livestock and horses and things like that as you're and to know that those are the main modes of transportation, horses and carriages, and now it's cars. Well, guess what? Maybe the next generation won't know what gasoline smells like, which is such a sweet smell, but apparently it's bad for you. But I still like to go to a gas station and just smell the gasoline. It reminds me of, I don't know what. Maybe it reminds me of my childhood. Maybe it reminds me of simpler times, days gone past. You know, it's very interesting. I mean, who knows? Maybe we won't know what tobacco smells like anymore after a while. I mean, maybe we won't know what tequila tastes like. Maybe we won't know what chocolate tastes like. I mean, it's very interesting how things evolve that way. But I guess the only point that I could possibly make in all of this is that it really teaches us to slow down and appreciate, or if you're British, appreciate, not like you couldn't understand what I'm saying if you're not British, although some British people say things like, I would have no idea what they're saying because their accent is so thick. Like, what language do you speak, am I? I'm like, what? Or say, what language do you speak, am I? Or what, are you speaking English? Hey, I'm speaking English. I'm speaking the Queen's English. What language are you speaking, am I? I'm like, oh, geez. I'm speaking American. But, you know, it's one of those things where it teaches us to just slow down and appreciate life as it is right now. Because, not to be, you know, macabre about it, but everything goes away in the end. You know? Everything goes away in the end. To quote Trent Reznor. Although most people think that that song was Johnny Cash. I guess because he's older than Trent Reznor. But guess what? Sometimes the older generation is influenced by the younger generation. And that can be a very exciting thing. Because it means that, you know, that you can teach an old dog new tricks. You can come up with something that's new and innovative. You can be the next cutting edge. But what you want in life is to just appreciate the things that you have now. Like, you know, I love the way coffee tastes. Who knows? Maybe it won't taste like that in 50 years. Maybe coffee will come in a pill. You know, I love hearing music. Jazz music, pop music, techno music. I mean, geez, could we have predicted dubstep 50 years ago? No. Think someone would think that, you know, someone was, like, having the auditory interpretation of what an aneurysm must feel like. I mean, wow. Dubstep? I hope that's not around for a long time. I just hope that's a passing fad. No offense if you like dubstep. Actually, no. You should be offended if you like dubstep. Because it means that your tastes are just terrible. Sure, it's fun in some situations at some time, you know. But really, come on, let's be honest. It's not real music. And that's exactly what the previous generation said about the Beatles and you know, the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan, all these guys. It's amazing how similar we are to the stubbornness that our way is the right way. Isn't that interesting? So I say just flow like water, you know? Just let it all flow, let it all go. Let it pass through you like a current. Have your opinions, make up your mind, but just appreciate life. Enjoy it. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
Well, that's all the time we have today at Robcast Podcast. Be sure to tune in every week to find the latest Robcast Podcast at officialrobcast.podomatic.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Official Robcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay alive.